So, welcome everybody. Thank you again for coming back. Really appreciate it. Today we talk about an interesting subject. The title is Neo-Colonial Flyway Conservation of Migratory Birds, an NGO example for the Afro-Palearctic. I'm basing this podcast on two publications. The main one is by Vickery et al. About the conservation of the Afro-Palearctic migrants, what we are learning and what we need to know. Published in IBIS in the UK. And the other one is a paper we did ourselves by Bruno Walter and myself on the Palearctic passerine migrant declines in African wintering grounds in the Anthropocene. From 1970 to 1990 and near future, a conservation assessment using publicly available GIS predictors and machine learning published in the Science of the Total Environment. So obviously we deal with Africa. As a major place in the world, that is a major place for humanity and also biodiversity, it's an entire continent connecting with the European continent and therefore with the old world. We use migratory birds as an example, as an indicator basically of the state of the art there. And this flyway that I'm talking about is basically a movement corridor of birds connecting between wintering and summering grounds. And here we focus mostly on the western side of that flyway. So that includes countries like Norway, UK, Denmark, Germany, and then France and Spain, and then certainly the whole African continent. So these are some of the main actors in this flyway and for these birds. And in the publication by Vickery et al., a summary was provided on the flyway and what actions are ongoing and needed, and I will discuss those in a minute in more detail. Before I do that, I like to make reference to the second paper that was published earlier. That paper was published in 2021, basis of that paper goes back to data that existed for Africa primarily, and we also used environmental data for 1970 that we compiled up to 1990, and then we compare that with some forward predictions for the near future, 2020. So the problem obviously was the data in earlier times were not so accessible, not open access, but Bruno Walter, who's my co-author here, had those data available and compiled and already published on many publications. And so these are basically now, at that time at least, were among the best on the subject, which is a large flyer in a large area. And Bruno agreed sharing those and adding those data to the paper and for the analysis and that I did afterwards. So this is basically among the very best data at hand on the subject for Africa and some flyway trends done in the GIS and other sources. This research is an open access metadata work using machine learning and GIS, geographic information systems. It has long-term data across basically two continents, if you want. So that's information to be used and to use for generalization. And it's pretty robust in my view. There are some data that are really hard to get at, specifically the human data, the socioeconomic data layers, and also rainfall data and those things that are pretty important for birds sometimes. And it's a bit surprising that we don't have better data coverage. I'm talking in space and time explicitly, because Africa as a continent and many countries within have received long-term development aid and other Western support because being colonial countries initially by countries like England, France, Germany, and so on. There was a lot of surveying done in earlier times, and these data must be somewhere, and many of them have not made it back to in the digital world, or they might even be got lost. There were wars involved and so on. So it was easy, difficult time. But in the meantime, there must be data and there exists data. And for instance, places like Kenya or Tanzania has really good data sets that are actually openly available. Other areas, specifically in the West African area, do not have such good GIS and spatial and temporal data, certainly not for birds. So that's an interesting aspect. So anyway, we compiled these data, we used them, and we modeled, did a forward outlook. That was the idea to see what the future will bring. And it was found that the trend of the declines is remaining. So birds are declining on that flyway. That is widely acknowledged for a long time. That is also a very scary thing. And we find that that trend will not go away. It will not get better. It might actually even get worse. So further, we find that these models overlap with centers of conflict. That includes conflicts around oil and gas extraction, related warfare, mining, and other resource questions. For instance, when you think of Congo, when you think of West Africa, when you think of parts of South Africa, and even parts of North Africa, let's say, there are many resources there. There are certain hotspots of birds, but there are also conflicts, and there are a lot of human dramas really on the ground that are pretty tragic, and the birds are right in the middle. So arguably colonial nations such as the UK has been, France, even Germany, Denmark, and so on, have really set up in earlier times a problem. Mostly the royal courts have set up a problem that isn't resolved yet, and which keeps being a problem for Africa and its ecosystem and for the world. That is pretty obvious, and our findings show maps of that sort where there's a correlation between those points and those initiatives. So what to make better from this paper that we published? The last phrase in the abstract reads the following: we argue that only comprehensive systematic change can mitigate the impacts on the migratory birds and their habitats, and this means cultural change, how the Western society, the dominating societies, currently interact with the world and with the living environment and with the planet overall. That's basically a requirement, and that's a conclusion from this work, because we find it really tragic what's ongoing there on this flyway, considering there are so strong gradients in the welfare, in the wealth, in the northern countries versus the southern countries, and where the hotspots of problems are sitting and where the declining species are sitting. Arguably, creating another national park won't probably fix the problem, might it even make worse. So that's what we found there. Now, moving into this new publication that was just came out by Vickery et al. It includes authors from the UK primarily, a few Dutch, Danish, and Western African co-author. And the research is led by basically semi-governmental NGO, which is the Royal Society for Protection of Birds and the British Trust of Ornithology and University of Cambridge. I think they're probably in the lead there for driving this research and whatever is presented in this review and in this message published in IBIS, which is a widely cited bird journal. So I mean, there is some relevance what was stated here. So here we are. The study is basically dominated by former colonial powers and NGOs, mostly with the royal court governance. Whereas the African people and the African nations are virtually not included, with a few exceptions of Senegal, perhaps. That already is an interesting situation. And it's curious how, under such a setup, something meaningful can really come, and how can that ever be a meaningful conservation effort? That's an interesting one. So within that, one will agree from the findings that the dispersal ranges of birds put the idea of a narrow flyway approach with a few stopover sites into doubt. And that's agreed on, as the paper also states. They also state that widespread efforts on a landscape scale are needed to deal with the bird declines on that flyway. So in other words, not punctual small national parks and stopover site protection will solve it, but a landscape approach and a more holistic approach is needed. That is probably agreed on. But this publication and study promises to be a good overview of the flyway and its situation. It's based on literature review. And so therefore, everybody will agree that the population trends are dramatically on the decline for many species on the flyway and beyond. And this basically affects an over 1,000 years old system across continents, and many nations involving birds and their coevolution with humans. And humans also have evolved at that time, of course, in their practices. And so this state of the human co-evolved ecosystem is now found in the wholesale Anthropocene, and it has greatly declined. The integrity of that system. Wilderness get lost, and consequently birds are in trouble. That is widely recognized. But instead, this study keeps promoting geotagging and potential applications, not real applications, but potential applications that have a good outlook in the next decades, perhaps, if ever. And it leaves out a wide swath of issues of data, of people, and of science, or the idea of changing the Western enterprise for global sustainability so that it actually works. Of course, decisions are to be made fast, and the paper refers to that, but exact details are not mentioned because, how do you do that when the people are not involved, where the birds actually are spending most of the time, which probably is Africa, where they spend a lot of big chunk of the year in the winter. So that's a very interesting question there. In addition, the authors are promoting as a solution tree planting all over Africa, as well as the need to learn and to look at knowledge and gain knowledge. So therefore, a good solution can be made in the future. But the history of that concept, which is widely used and referred to by many conservation groups and many science people also, is that it has been highly ineffective, and I will elaborate a little bit more on that. The idea that first you need good knowledge and then can make decisions, that has basically delayed decision-making and has not entered decision-making yet for most parts, certainly not for that flyway or for Africa, as you can see the African reality. So this widely ignores the failure of that very concept and the feasibility even, because it's not realistic. There's very, very few legal actions taken on the flyway in favor of birds. A typical example would be the whole poaching situation in the Mediterranean area and other areas, even in England itself. So that is obviously an issue. The idea of a good outlook, of a win-win, is virtually not possible. It's still promoted, though, like a happy ending of that case. And that's not realistic, in my view, and based what on the research that we've done and that what we have shown, that this trend of declines will get worse. I mean, there's no light on the tunnel, if you wish. There's no good outlook yet. And considering the state of the world and where we're standing and many of the problems, including climate, that will probably not get better. So that's already a major disagreement here. The authors, let's say researchers from Spain, Belgium, Germany, and France, or let's say Norway, and certainly from the African nation like Congo, Nigeria, Ghana, and Ivory Coast, and so on, Burkina Faso, are not included in this publication and in the message. There's no recognition of this. And the major nations of that flyway are basically left out. Therefore, it really limits the approach. And you wonder in the year 2023, where everything is about diversity, inclusion, and equity, how that's possible and how that can be a serious message then. Arguably, this flyway isn't affected by the EU. But then when you look at the authorship, the dominant group comes from the UK, which is obviously not part of the EU. This whole policy conundrum that you need to have a consistent policy, not fragmented, but wholesale in the wintering and summering grounds and the flyway together, is not addressed. The situation that UK broke away from the EU hasn't made it easier, and it's certainly not mentioned in this paper. For bird conservation, that is very, very discouraging, I find. The other aspects of development aid, of colonialism and neocolonialism that we still find in many of the African nations, unfortunately, and the utter failure of the royal governance scheme, because often the royal society is involved in science and in conservation and also with birds, is certainly totally ignored by the authors. And I'm very dubious about those, publications that are supposed to be high impact and that are not tackling the reality of Africa and of poverty. Personally, the notion of open access is not mentioned in this research, and those database and projects mentioned are far from open access for the wider public. For instance, geotagging databases are not publicly available unless you log in, but you cannot really harvest them or even understand them or use them unless you get an approval or you engage with some specific institutes for kickback and for co-authorships and stuff like that. So anyway, there's no open access approach really promoted in this paper. And then this old straw man of wintering grounds versus breeding grounds versus stopover sites is still played up, leaving the question, can we blame the wintering grounds for the declines in UK, or should we blame UK for the declines on the flyway? This is a discussion that really shouldn't be there, because birds experience the entire flyway, and it happens often in a synergy. So that question obviously is not so meaningful. Also state that studies relating European breeding bird data to large-scale habitat and environmental processes in Africa have failed to find any clear regional patterns. But in reality, our own work, including the one that I cited here in the beginning, clearly shows otherwise. I also list you some other papers that have done that link. So that's where authors, I think, are really mistaken there. There are similar statements that are dubious by the authors, is that regions and hotspots would not exist or would not be studied well. Well, I think sub-Saharan Africa is one of those hotspots, and there has been research done, of course, and the connection has been made. So my critique here obviously is that our own research was bluntly ignored by a group of authors that try to grab a whole flyway subject for themselves with a conservation message and then promote certain statements that are really hardly to defend, certainly not realistic, or that have failed in earlier times also. So, as I mentioned, colonial legacy, mismanagement, poverty, and human migrants as a new topic, or world peace for that matter, industrialization, economic growth, and governance failure are fully ignored, but must not be ignored. This article, in my view, can be labeled as a typical example of biased research. As a matter of fact, it hasn't done its homework well and hasn't really looked at how conservation really works over time and what has worked, what it hasn't worked. It's, in my view, neoliberal, it's neocolonial, and it's a reinforcement of the African issues in the hand of NGOs and their money and contractors. And I find that really concerning, because arguably that's not science. Science is to be free, independent, and involves freedom of speech and some sort of shared governance. I do not see that really in this research there. So I would be very dubious about whatever comes from such type of article. This article essentially is led by a CEO of an NGO, and driven by such fundraising aspects, I assume, and the promotion of high-tech solutions as good potential, but reality obviously differs. Like with bird banding, that's already done for over 100 years, more tagging on these birds will actually kill more birds, even including the ones that are often tagged, that's known. And it does not present an effective conservation on the landscape scale, in my view. The data will not be openly shared, unlikely are, as we currently see with the African data and others on the flyway. And the NGOs will probably try to make more money to be tax exempt in the meantime. I believe that that's a culture that really went wrong, and it's to be avoided. It's hardly science, because we're trying to do here science-based conservation, and certainly not good conservation research or effective conservation research in the eye of flyway nations, which are mostly African, and from a people perspective, everybody needs to be included. Already the citation list shows us a huge bias. I mentioned that our own research is not mentioned, nor any research by, for instance, my colleague Bruno Walter, who's done a lot on this flyway, and they haven't included. The research is being probably not relevant. I'm not so much complaining about our own papers are not cited, nor are they referred or mentioned. But anything that does not please the authors is ignored. And that's my concern. It's like a one-sided view, a filtered view of what their view is, but it's labeled as general, and that's certainly incorrect. You can literally do it here by nation and by funding interest. But the biggest failure really in this type of work is the lack of mentioning the total failure of the law, because the UK law and the EU law and the BERT directives and other policies, including on the United Nations IUCN level, the failure of the development aid and the science and associated institutions, that includes leading institutions like Cambridge, really have not made it better on the ground for the birds in Africa on a large scale on the landscape in the last 50 years. And that is something you need to think about really hard, what that means and why it is, and what the culture that is that still persists despite the facts being so negatively. Everybody knows that trends are declining, and that's something people usually want to avoid. So it's clearly work that's published in a leading bird journal. It's published in the UK journal, and it's published with royal governance schemes. So here we are. In my view, the approach is simply outdated and ineffective. That's just judged by the progress on the last 50 years, which has been coined the acceleration of a decline, considering that climate change and carbon dioxide reduction is not even in the text mentioned, really, and it's not addressed either way, certainly not in the recent convention of the parties and in the Dubai meeting 2023, which is, I think, openly now labeled as a massive failure by most nations. So where does it leave us? Well, I let you be the judge. I think the audience has a lot of experience on conservation questions. They've heard a lot about climate change and bird declines all over the world. It's a long topic. And the point is there's very little good news. Certainly very little good news for this flyway and its species for a long time that has received a lot of Western dominance, colonial power research with highly paid institutions and staff and employees and so on. So that, I think, is problematic, and that must change. There needs to be a betterment, there needs to be a performance metric. And so, I don't know, that leaves me in a very troubled situation. If I may, I recite you the last phrase of our own research, of the abstract that I mentioned. And I want you to think about a little bit more what it means. So we argue that only comprehensive systemic change can mitigate the impacts on the migratory birds and their habitats. With that, I leave you. I hope you found that interesting and relevant. And thanks so much for listening. Bye-bye.